Active faith, faith's response to the sovereign Savior, part three. And I trust that you're there in the little epistle, the little... Young people, you know what epistle is, right? Another word for epistle begins with an L, and it's not loser. It's what we used to use before email. But, Grant, oh... Who said that? Letter. It's a letter. Epistle means, all it means is a letter. So if you say letter or you say epistle, and the old joke is that the pastors used to say all the time, the epistles are not the wives of the apostles. You've heard that plenty of times. You never heard that? Man, I used to hear that at least once a year from when I went to when I was going to church. Okay, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. 24. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Well, that is the word of the Lord. And we look all the way down to verse 27. We're looking at our response to a sovereign God, response to our King. And so faith is a as we'll see here, is very consistent with grace that is expressed in the other epistles and the other letters, especially those of Paul's. So, verse 22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The first part of that, be doers of the word. Being doers, and I express that in here, being, to make yourself is what the Greek presents. But there is a word here, poietai. It sounds kind of like an English word for somebody who writes rhyming verses. You know what that is, young people? Poietai. You answered one before, and I owe you some high fructose corn syrup. But yeah, poetry or poet. Become a poet. Make yourself a poet of the word. Make yourself a poet of the word. I wrote it in your notes. But keep becoming poets of the word. There we go. Here, one place that we see this the same root word is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You know, we know Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that word workmanship is a Greek word, poema. And Brent, you already answered, but what young person thinks they know what that word in Greek sounds like, poema? Well, no, it doesn't sound like poet. It sounds more like what?
Poem.
That's right, Brother Wright.
Well, you're probably going there, but it sounds like this is adding charm to life.
I like that. I wasn't at this point, but I think I was somewhat towards the end. But yeah, it adds charm to life. With the workmanship that God is doing, he sees us as a poem. However, and he's writing our lives as he is sovereign, but we have a responsibility too. If he's making our lives a poem of the gospel by his word working in us, that we need to be poets also, that we need to assist him in writing the poem of our lives, a charming life. Exactly.
Or color, or salt.
Salt, light, all those things, they are very poetic. And you'll notice that the Bible is full of poetry. We have a whole book of poetry, of Hebrew poetry, that we've been studying on Wednesday nights, the Psalms. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 25 help us to understand what being a doer of the word is. In fact, we can turn there. In Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, keep your place in James, turn to the first book of the New Testament. If you got to Malachi, you went too far. And in chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus talks about people that say that they're Christians but don't do what he says. In fact, there are people that, as we looked at the Holy War tonight and saw Mr. Carnal Security, these people are kind of carnally secure because they boast in their works and not in the love of Jesus. So when you're there, say amen. If you're still trying to turn, I can hear the pages turning. Okay, is there one of the young people you want to read that? Verses 21 to 25. Okay, Brother Wyatt, go ahead.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? In thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Very good. Oh, wait a minute. I said to go to verse 25. Yeah, so in both places, the first place that we see this is in verse 21. In the English Standard Version, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Our verse says, be doers of the word. And don't just hear it. Now, these people, beginning in verse 22, they did some work, but it's not the same thing. Verse 22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, or cast out demons in your name, or do mighty works in your name? And verse 23, Jesus says, I declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So what kind of work do you suppose should have been done from the word? First and foremost. Now, those other things we should probably be doing, but what are they missing? Jesus said he didn't know them. He didn't remember them. He didn't know their friends. Love, right there. We had that in the Holy War tonight as we looked at that episode, that they were trusting in their own carnal works, but they weren't loving the Father and loving the Son who loved them. See, that's why we are doers of the work, doers of the word. We do it out of love for God because He loved us and gave it to us, saved us by sending Jesus, now the sending the Holy Spirit, loving us so it opens up the Word, so we see what it means. And then we respond to the Word by doing it because we love Jesus. Not because, well, now that I'm saved, I got all this power, I got all this strength, I could do it on my own. And that's why the presence of Jesus isn't with us sometimes, because we think we're going to do it on our own. And that's the poetry of it. That's as Brother Mike said, that's the charm of the life in Christ, is that the presence of Christ is with us. His promise from Hebrews chapter 13 says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, is because He is, you know, He is Almighty God. And He can, from His throne in heaven and through the Holy Spirit, from His eternal presence, He can cause us to do all those works, but He wants to allow us to grow as citizens of heaven, to be able to do those things because we love Him and we want to see Him glorified. And that's what that means, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, it says in verse 22. Not hearers only. I'm not even going to go into the Manon means only, and akroatai means to be a hearer, and not only hearers. I gave you a reference, John chapter 6, verse 66. We don't have to turn there. In John 6, verse 66, it says, Jesus was saying many truths. You remember one of them in John chapter 6? That we had on a Sunday night. That's going a long time ago. Jesus said this, I am the, it starts with a B. He said many of those I am statements in the Gospel of John. In chapter 6, He said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. And He says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life eternal. And people thought, wait a minute. What is this? This is crazy. And so in John 6 and verse 66, it says, after this, many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. They were hearers of the word. They were students of the word. They listened to what He said. But when they heard the truth of what Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You ate that miracle fish and wonder bread yesterday, but now you come and you want to eat again to the full. I'm the bread of life. And they walked off. They were hearers of the word and not doers of the word. In other words, they didn't love Jesus. They didn't see His love for, I have compassion upon the crowd and I'm going to feed him the day before. And the first part of John chapter 6, the next day after Jesus walks on water, and then they found Him in Capernaum, and they oh, here you are. You came because you wanted to eat more food, not because you want more truth. They were hearers of the word. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. This is very interesting that it says, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Now, there are so many people that have taken the book of James and said, well, see, James is just a legalistic book. It's telling us to do all this stuff. He said, Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 2, the very same thing. It's that if that faith to believe doesn't change our lives to want to do, and that to even be equipped by the Spirit to do as best as a sinner saved by grace is able. Because, see, remember, the best of what you do, the best of the righteous work that you do, You know, being kind to your brothers and sisters, honoring your mom and dad, that still isn't perfect because you still have sinful dreams at night, right? You still have terrible thoughts and you still don't do things perfectly. Still mess up, still make mistakes, still sin. That's why. However, since it's based upon loving God because God loved us, that's how we become doers of the word. Because we're driven by the love of God through the Spirit. It says, deceiving yourselves in the last part of verse 22. Let me check the time. Proverbs 14, verse 12. It's also in Proverbs 15. It says almost the very same thing. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Same thing. Deceiving yourselves. I provided you a reference from Luke chapter 11, verses 27 to 28 as a reference for deceiving themselves. Jesus was preaching to a crowd, and a woman's voice rose up while he's preaching and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." She's missing the point. She thought, "Wow, what a wonderful speaker! And the mother must be so proud. Your mother, Jewish woman, your mother must be so proud of you." Mwah. She misses it, because what is Jesus' response in Luke 11, verse 28? He said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." She was missing the point. It's not that Mary was blessed because she certainly was blessed to be able to do that. But the truth of the matter, Jesus brings it right back home. It's not that which is the blessing. It's the blessing to be able to hear the word of God and to keep it. In other words, salvation. Jesus was saying that salvation is the blessing. To receive Jesus as the reward is the blessing. Because there's a lot of people that hear the word, but they can't do the word because they're not empowered to do it. If they are unbelievers, they can't do the word because they don't love Jesus. In verse 23, it says, "Look intently," and I don't think that we're going to finish this tonight, which is, you know, good that we'll have more people next week, or not, because I'll still be the pastor and still be the teacher of the Bible study. Maybe that's why they're not here, right? In verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror." Has anyone here, don't raise your hand, but think about that. Have you looked in the mirror today? Have you looked real closely? Well, okay, you might not have. You don't have a mirror in your house, do you?
We do. We have one, but it's over the bed, so you have to crawl over the bed.
Oh, I hate when that happens. I'm just teasing. I'm sorry. But you have looked into a mirror before. Now, how about if a man looked and looked and looked and looked in the mirror and then went away and forgot what he looked like? We actually do that all the time. To give you an example of that, especially as we get older, we think a little bit better of ourselves than we actually are. See, Brother Mike and I, having been around for a few years, we kind of tend to think of ourselves as being a little younger than we actually are. We might tend to do stuff that we would have done 20 or 30 years ago. The outcome is not as good as it would have been 20 or 30 years ago, because my back is hurting a lot more. A friend of mine used to say that he was a pastor that used to say, you know, the grandchildren will bring honesty out of what our perception, bring honesty out of our perception, because Grandpa What are all those wrinkles on your face about? Grandpa, your teeth are a lot yellower than my mom's and dad's. Grandpa, you walk a little really, really slow. Here is an interesting thing that in Luke chapter 20, the look intently. That look intently, it's beholdeth in the King James Version. He who beholdeth his face in a glass. It's talking about a mirror. It's looking at the reflection. It says beholdeth. But in Luke chapter 20, verse 23, it uses the same word, the exact same word, but it uses the word perceived. And consider this. In Luke 20, verse 23, it says of Jesus, but he perceived their craftiness and said to them. See, they were, remember when Jesus was being tempted by the religious leaders? Should we pay taxes to Caesar and so forth? But in Luke chapter 20, it says they come to him and there was a lawyer who said, Lord, what is the great commandment of the law? You know, and Jesus perceived. He saw right through their ploy. And then he ends up telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. But he perceived what they were. So when we look at this, it's the same word. James uses this basically the same word. When somebody looks at his reflection in the glass, in a mirror, we're supposed to look beyond what we're seeing as a picture. We're looking, when I look in the mirror, what I should be seeing is the real me. The me that Jesus has saved. I should perceive that the guy that I see in the mirror, that rascal is the same, is the face of the guy who's getting older that was a rascal before he was saved. It's the same look. It's the same guy. He just has less hair on the back of his head and it's getting gray in his beard. That's what I see. I should perceive that the person inside when I look in the mirror, I should perceive that I should be a different person, a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 speaks of that. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So when we look and forget what kind of person we are, it's saying that when I look into the mirror of God's Word, I should be seeing Jesus. I should see a reflection of Jesus, not only from the Word, but the Word reflects upon my life. But when I walk away and become just the same person that I was, that's what it's saying here. Just looking intently, but forgetting what manner of person I should be. Verse 24 expounds upon that. It says, at once forgets what he is like. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 9, it says, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. See, if we keep on sinning apart from God's word, we habitually sin. We purposely sin. If we end up doing that, then that's what Peter is talking about and what James is talking about. We look at God's word and forget what it says. We're not doing what Christ wants us to do. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty in the first part of verse 25, that perfect law of liberty, the first thing, that he who looks into the, it uses a different word than looks intently. And a place to see this is in Luke 16. A place to see this is in Luke 16. And I won't have you turn there. But remember that Jesus told of, not a parable, but he told of what heaven was like. There was a rich man and there was Lazarus. And Lazarus was a poor beggar. And they both died. And one of them was in Abraham's bosom, which was the place called paradise. There were two compartments, and that was Lazarus, the poor beggar. He was in what was called Abraham's bosom or paradise. The other one, the rich man, he was in the place of torment. And he called out to Father Abraham, "Father Abraham, have Lazarus come over and just dip his finger in the water to press it to my tongue. Give me a little bit of relief." And he says, "Well, I can't, because the chasm between you two is too deep and too far, and I can't send Lazarus over." And he says, "Well, send Lazarus. I have five brothers. Send Lazarus up to my brothers and warn them, because they are Jews, but they don't walk with God." And he says, "No, they won't believe. Let them read the law and the prophets, and then they'll believe." "No, send Lazarus. They'll believe him." And he says, "Not even if somebody was risen from the dead. They have the law and the prophets. Let them listen to them." In this story that the Lord Jesus tells, this very important part, there are men that won't look at the resurrection of Christ. It's obvious. They're not saved. Jesus has been risen, and there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem today. But they're not going to believe that, because they won't believe this wonderful word that God has preserved over 1,500 years through 40 different authors and 66 books that all speak of Jesus. And they will not look into the perfect law of liberty. It is a law of liberty because Jesus said in John chapter 8, he told the Jews that if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free or make you free. Brother Mike.
So it sounds like they were casual readers.
Casual readers. Yeah, looking at this and just reading it because, well, I have to, or as they read, they forget what they've read right after they've read it. Now, we've all done that, haven't we? You know, you don't have to nod or raise your hand, but we've all done that. I've done that. I did that just yesterday. And I try to keep myself from not reading it. I got on the computer and I take the portion of scripture from the portions we read from the McShane reading plan, and there's a little thing in there with a speaker, and I hit that so that this fella, I think his name is David Cochran, and he's reading the passage as I'm following along with it, and as I'm listening to it and reading it. I need to start this over again, because I went through a paragraph and I didn't hear a word he said. My mind started wandering and went off somewhere else. This is after 37 years of walking with Christ. Still happens. Happened just yesterday. And it would have happened today, but I didn't read my portions today. I'm being honest with you. Normally, I read them. I open them up first thing. But because of the messages that I was preparing for this week, I thought I'd opened up to all of those and read them this morning. I read Luke two times this morning. I read James. I read Hebrews chapter 1. And I just kept on reading them over and over again because I really wanted to get the word into my that I was going to preach today in my heart. And I bypassed those. So when I go home, I'll listen to them tonight. And I'll be right back on schedule, because the first thing I do in my morning prayers is I read those four portions, same as you. Even though I wrote the devotional a couple days before that's posted up there. Perseveres. It says, one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his deed. Well, perseveres, it means to remain or continue or to abide. And we have a reference to that we already looked at just last week. Remember that in verse 21, it says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." In the English Standard Version, it says implanted word. And it could mean both. because both of them apply. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against you." That's the implanted word. Make it a part of me. Make it a part of you. When you read it, make it your own. You own it. But also the engrafted word. We talked about grafting in, that we join to Jesus with the word. We join to the word, which tells us of Jesus, just as our souls join to Jesus. Remember John 15, verses 1 through 5, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. My Father is the husbandman." He says in John 15, verse 1, and then he gets all the way down to verse 5. He says, "Abide in me and I in you," that we're abiding together, to be grafted in other words, that abiding is that, like, we are grafted into him who is the branch. And he says, because apart from me, you can do nothing. The limb that is grafted in receives all the nourishment from the roots, from the trunk of the tree itself, which is Jesus. And so with his word, we do the same thing. It's just another illustration. He's the living word. Here's the written word. And we persevere by being grafted in to who Jesus wants us to be. And we do so out of love. That's what faith is, one of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's a gift of God. And it is, it's way down on the list in Galatians 5, because the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And so faith is always based in love. And finally, you'll be blessed in your doing this. One of the things is we read in verse 12 that he will receive the crown of life. But the crown of life basically is just loving Jesus. Deuteronomy 5 verse 29 says, "Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever." So there's that promise there. That's a blessing. That the overwhelming love of Jesus is not just to me, that it will be passed on to my children and to my children's children because of being a doer of the word, a lover of Christ. Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2, many of us know that. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord," it says in verse 2, "and in his law he meditates day and night." And so there is a blessing that when you become a doer of the word, you begin loving the word. You know, today when we had our worship service, Brother Mike talked about going out and, early in the morning, and so the stars were out, and he went out and he recited Psalm 19 to us. And what a blessing that was. Not only did he memorize the word, but just seeing those stars reminded him of the word, which he had hidden in his heart. And he just began to praise God by reciting it. And that's a blessing. The blessing of that word is that Psalm 1 tells us, is that when we become doers of the word, loving Christ because of the word, we start loving his word because it's his word. He gave it to us, and to love him and not love his word, it doesn't match up in the Christian life. And then finally, we mention, as Brother Wyatt read it in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says the same thing in the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 to 49. He says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been built, well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So faith, biblical faith, in order to respond correctly, stands on what? Starts with an L, and it's not letter. What is it, young people? Yes.
Love.
Love. Stands on love. That's what we learned from the Holy War, but that was one of the big things. Being a doer of the word, the secret to it there is in heeding Christ. You know, and heeding Christ means to obey. We hear him, and then we obey what he has said because we love him. The foundation of it is that he loves us, so we love him. So James is very consistent with not only Paul from Romans chapter 2, but he's consistent with John in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. All right. It's a quarter after now. Any questions or comments? Sister, you're good? All right. Sister Brielle, you're just stretching. Okay, good. And I still owe a couple of you some high fructose corn syrup. Let's pray. Our most blessed and gracious Father and God, in Jesus' name and for his sake, we thank you, Lord, for the book of James. We have this last part in honoring Christ in verses 26 to 27 to go. And we ask, Father, that you'll allow us to continue to meditate upon these portions, that we may grow in grace and be strengthened in faith, and that Christ will be exalted in our lives until he comes again. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.